the song One Day at a Time. I'm not actually crazy about the song as far as the music of it, but the phrase One Day at a Time is indeed very meaningful. Recently, I was listening to a tape by David Antin, and he was quoting something that he had read off of the internet. Someone had actually written a prayer on the internet, and the prayer went something like this. He said, "Lord, so far, I haven't hated anyone. So far, I haven't lusted. So far, I haven't thought any evil thoughts. So far, I haven't treated anyone wrongly. So far, I haven't said the wrong thing. But I'm about to get up and get up out of bed. From this point forward, I am going to need your help very much." And, you know, I got a kick out of that because I think that very much describes a lot of times the Christian life. You know, we can do quite well as long as we're asleep. It's those 15 hours that we are awake that gives us such a fit. And that gives us such trouble. If you would turn back to Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25, I'm going to read here just a simple, it's actually a statement that I want to, that is made here. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25. Here are the 12 tribes of Israel, and their sons are being blessed. And speaking of Asher, it will say, "Your sandals shall be as iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be. As your days, so shall your strength be." That wonderful phrase, "as your days, so shall your strength be." The implication is that there is coming your way many days. Well, the average lifespan, the Bible says, is 70 or 80 years. And yet, the implication is that your strength, though, is going to come one day at a time. One day, and you might add your peace, your joy, your happiness, your purpose, your meaning, your instruction, how to live your life is going to come to you. What to do is going to come to you one day at a time. You know, I believe that it is possible to live the Christian life in accordance to God's will. I believe that it's possible to live a life that is pleasing to God. I believe that it's possible to walk the walk. But I only believe it's possible to do this one day at a time. Taking it one simple day at a time. You know, I was thinking about, you know, I don't know how many of you have ever played the slot machine. One time at the feast at Lake Tahoe, we went down to the casino. And I've never been to the casino before. It was the first time there. So I put a couple quarters in the slot machine. But I was thinking, you know, suppose Lot was like that, but, you know, it was a slot machine entitled Life. And every day you had to, you know, pull the handle down and see if it would give you another ticket. Another day. And on the ticket, it would say one more day of life. And you would wake up with anticipation and you would wonder, is God going to give me another day? And you pull the handle down, your ticket would come out, and you'd say, yes, one more day of life. Maybe if life was like that, we would learn to take it a little bit slower. We would learn to take life one day at a time, maybe. How can we have strength in our day-to-day walk with God? How can we please God from this day forward? The title of this sermon is Strength for Today. Strength for Today. Because I sometimes think that, you know, no matter what you're going through, if you're struggling with personal areas or if you, you know, sometimes life, we take upon us not just the troubles of today, but the troubles of the next 5 or 6 days or the next 5 or 6 weeks. And we become totally frustrated and confused. And yet I believe if we can live life just one day at a time, it will help us. So, the title is Strength for Today. Turn, if you would, to Colossians 1, verse 9 through 11. I'm going to be turning to several, many scriptures, more than I normally do, but anyway, hopefully it will help you sort of keep us in check here, turning to all these scriptures. Colossians 1 and verse 9 through 11. He says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Notice this. I mean, this is what I want to have. This is the way I want to be. And notice what Paul is saying here. He says, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Lord, what do I do? What do you want me to do? What can I do? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Boy, what a mouthful. Fully pleasing him. Being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. I tell you that this is what I want. This is how I want to be. Be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding to know what his will is, to fully please him. You know, this is a worthy goal here. I think the first thing that we must do for strength for today is begin to work at living life and taking your problems one day at a time. I want to read to you a poem here entitled Just for Today. First thing we need to realize is that you can only live the Christian life one day at a time. Just for today. It says, just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life's problems at once. I can do something for 12 hours that would appall me if I felt that I had to keep it up for a whole lifetime. And your life sometimes is like that. You know, you get to the point where you think, surely I don't have to put up with this for the rest of my life. Surely I don't have to go through this and struggle with this and be in this state of confusion or whatever it may be, not knowing what to do. Surely I don't have to put up with this for a lifetime. But you know, I can do something for 12 hours that indeed would appall me if I felt that I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. Abraham Lincoln said that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do someone a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anyone else except myself. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax during that half hour. I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. I like that poem, Just for Today. You know, just for today, you can control your thoughts. Just for today, you can resist temptation. Just for today, you can please God. You can do a lot of things just for today. You know, you can stick to your diet just for today. You can accomplish a lot of things just for today, one day at a time. Now, I think about the way that God created us and created this physical body. You know, you rest in order to gain strength. And I don't know how long anyone can go without sleep. I know as a teenager, you know, we used to try that to see if we could stay awake until the sun come up. But, you know, you can't go for so long before you have to have sleep. You know, the scripture will say in the creation account, it will say, in the evening and the morning were the first day. And it will say, in the evening and the morning were the second day. And it will go through that. But, you know, the first part of the day is the evening, the nighttime part. And the second part of the day is the daytime part. So a new day begins at sunset. So, you know, actually, you begin your day, a new day, with sunset. sunset, and then before long, you know, you're going to bed. You begin your day by sleeping and preparing and resting and preparing yourself physically for a new day, for the daytime part. And, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with how children can fight their sleep. You know, sometimes you wonder what's wrong with that child. You know, this child is giving me a fit. And before you know it, another child falls asleep. And children who fight their sleep. I think it's true of us as grown-ups that we become more vulnerable when we're worn out. We're vulnerable to temptation or whatever. But anyway, you know, from the time that you awake in the morning, you've got roughly 15 hours. And the question is for us, can we please God in those 15 hours? Is it possible, you know, after you've rested up and you awake in the morning, and you've got roughly 15 hours to go before, you know, for the end of the day? Can you please God in those 15 hours? I think so. I think you can. As your days, so shall your strength be. Now, in going to turn over to Matthew 6 and verse 7 through 13 and go through several points about strength for today, how we can have it. How we can have strength for today. Turn back to Matthew 6 and verse 7 through 13. One of the first things I want to point out about strength for today is something that we take for granted, something that a lot of times we don't have time for, and that is prayer. Matthew 6, and starting in verse 7. He says, when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, prayer is a reoccurring theme throughout the Bible. And daily prayer, I think, is just as important as sleep is to the body. You can't do without it. I mean, you will wear yourself out. You will fail. You will fall flat on your face without it. Because, you know, you're not going to be praying about what you need tomorrow, but what you need today, just for today. And, of course, verse 8 tells us that God already knows what you have need of. And that's comforting to know that, because a lot of times we don't know. You know, the Spirit has to make intercession for us. And a lot of times all we can offer up to God is just tears and weeping and crying. And yet God understands that kind of language. He understands what we have need of before we ask. The problem for us is keeping our eyes set on the needs for today, just for today. God will provide. Again, in verse 11, it will say, give us this day our daily bread. Now, there's just enough food for today. Just for today. You know, I think of the little prayer the children used to say, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, it's important to have a nighttime prayer. Because, you know, I'm going to be resting and preparing this physical body. And spiritually, I need to prepare myself. Because, you know, who knows what tomorrow will bring? Hell, heartache, trials, tests, good times or bad times. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. And so, you know, you start off your day by resting up, and then you prepare yourself during the night for those enormous 15 hours that we have to face and walk the walk. Now, look over in, so the first point is that prayer for strength for today is prayer, your prayer life. Turn over to Matthew 6 and verse 25. Matthew 6 and verse 25 says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what this statute. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. You know, don't worry about tomorrow. You've got enough worries just for today. There's no use in cramming, you know, 5 days of worry into one day. You've got enough just for today. Now, you know, the ability not to worry. Now, why do we worry so much? It talks about, you know, it says, consider the fowls of the air. God meets their needs. I was Teresa told me to come and look out in the backyard, and we had all these robins in the yard, and they were just, I mean, they were picking out, I guess, grub worms out of the yard, just right and left. I mean, I don't know how these birds know that they're there. It's almost as if, I mean, they get up there, and they stand still, and they sort of turn their head to the one side, and it's almost as if they can hear them. I know they can't hear them, but I think they feel the movement underneath their feet, and then they pluck that worm right out of the ground. God meets their needs. God takes care of the fowls of the air. You know, why do we worry so much? You know, I got a kick out of something Mike Shaw told me. He said, if I can't change it, if I don't have any power to do anything about it, I don't worry about it. And I thought, that's good advice, you know. If you can't change it, if you can't do anything about it, the problem that you're in or whatever, why worry about it? It's an act of futility. I want to read something that Earl Nightingale says about worry. Because strength for today is you're going to have to somehow get over these anxieties and frustrations that you're going to have to learn to be, you know, without content and without all of the worries that the world has to offer that are out there. Listen to what he says with this story. He says, and I quote, according to the Bureau of Standards, a dense fall covering 7 city blocks to a depth of 100 feet is composed of something less than 1 glass of water. That is, the fall covering 7 city blocks at a 100 feet deep could be, if it were gotten all together, held in a single drinking glass. It would not quite fill it. And this could be compared to our worries. If we could see into the future, if we could see our problems in their true light, they wouldn't tend to blind us to the world, to living itself, but instead could be regulated to their true size and place. And if all the things most people worry about were reduced to their true size, you could probably put them into a water glass, too. It is a well-established fact that as we get older, we worry less. We learn that with the passing of years and the problems each of them yields, that most of our worries are not really worth bothering ourselves about too much. And we can manage to solve the important ones. But to younger people, they often find their lives obscured by the fog of worry. Yet here's an estimate of what people worry about the most. Things that never happen. 40%. That is, 40% of the things you worry about never occur anyway. Things of the past that can't be changed at all. Not all the worry in the world, you might add. 30%. Things of the past that you cannot change. You know, you cannot add 1 cubit to your statue. Things of the past, you know, it's 30%. Needless worries about our health, 12%. Hey, miscellaneous worries, 10%. Real, legitimate worries, 8%. Only 8% of your worries are worth concerning yourself about. 92% are pure fog with no substance at all. I think that's interesting. And I like the way he puts that. Comparing it to our struggles. Do we make our weaknesses, our struggles, our problems bigger than life? Do you make your struggle, your problems, whatever, bigger than the day is long? You've probably seen the bumper sticker that says, God is bigger than any problem I have. Well, it's hard to believe that sometimes. Very hard to believe that. So, strength for today is found in somehow, some way, realizing that your worries are like much like, you know, just a bunch of fog. And that we shouldn't, you know, we should learn to put our worries in the proper perspective. Strength for today is found in contentment. Now, today, nobody's content. Wives are not content with husbands. Husbands are not content with their wives. We create all kinds of imaginary problems. Sometimes you hear people, you know, couples saying, well, we're just not getting along. Well, why aren't you getting along? I don't know. We're just not getting along. We're not happy. Well, why aren't you happy together? I don't know. Imaginary problems. You know, all these huge problems and no one can explain them. There's a Spanish proverb that says, since we cannot get what we like, let us like what we can get. Let us like what we can get. But let's look at contentment here. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. It says, 6 and starting in verse 6. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we cannot carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and snares and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So, contentment, strength for today. You know, you might say, we're talking about money here, the love for things, for the things that money can buy. You know, the reason the rich fail or fall is because the more you have, the more time you have to spend taking care of what you have. You know, most people who are rich take immaculate care of the things they have. They're not slothful at all. I mean, they really just, everything is perfect. And that's where the downfall is because, you know, you're preoccupied with things. Material things, and there's no time for anything else, especially God. You know, there's no end to taking care of things. I once told Teresa, I said, you know, if I were to quit my job completely, I could spend probably the rest of my life just taking care of things. Taking care of my home, taking care of the garden, taking care of the yard, taking care of the, you know, cleaning up the woods, taking care of the vehicles, taking care of the lawnmower, you know, just taking care of things. And then you add on that your job, and you add on that several other jobs, and you're, before you know it, you are totally preoccupied with things. So, but strength is found in contentment. Turn back to Philippians 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's a statement. A lot of times I've denied that in my own life. I've said, but what about this? I can't do this. And I've put limitations on Christ, you know, working through me. But how is this possible? How can Paul do all things through Christ with whom strengthened him? Well, notice verse 11 and 12, and it pretty much tells us. He says, now that I speak in regards to me, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And where in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So strength for today, and then he goes on to say, he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Strength for today, then, is going to be accomplished through is found in contentment, being content with what you have. Strength for today is found in being grateful. Being grateful. Another point. Now, I'm not sure how this works. All I know is that it works. You know, if you something works, then it works. And, you know, you might have a hard time convincing people, but this has worked for me, and it does work. And that is, the times that I had gotten up and counted my blessings and thought about what all I have to be grateful for, to be thankful for. You know, my wife, my home, my daughter, my family in the church, brethren and sisters in the church, my calling that God has given me. And the times that I have started my day off with counting and my blessings and being grateful, there is a strength there for the rest of the day. And I don't know exactly how it works, but indeed it works well. Turn back to Deuteronomy 8 and verse 10. Let's look at something here about being grateful and thankful. Deuteronomy 8, verses 10 through 20. It says, chapter 8 and verse 10, it says, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you this day. That's when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you to the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of a flint rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might have gained me this wealth, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, and he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It shall be, if you will, by any means, forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them. I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. It is the nations which the Lord destroyed before you, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. What I read here in this scripture, passage of scripture, is a gradual falling away. A gradual, very subtle, falling away. And this falling away comes about by a heart that has forgotten how to be grateful and thankful. Maybe a heart that's all wrapped up in self. You know, one of the first signs of a divorce on the horizon is that couples, husbands and wives, have forgotten how to be grateful and thankful for each other. You see that? Or if you do see that, look out. But your marriage is headed for trouble. For God to be grateful. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Notice this, in everything give thanks. This is something that we are to do. It is a type of worship, giving thanks. And of course, as you know, that it's more than just lip service. It's putting your money where your mouth is, out in your mouth is. And, you know, I'm talking about the tithing here and giving, you know, gifts and offerings to God. So, I just want to look at that scripture. It's talking about the end time here, or people during the end time, their attitude. But 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2 says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, what is this person doing in among these others? The ungrateful person. So I think we see it is connected here with all these other hideous sins, you know, disobedient to parents, blasphemers. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, lovers of money, and then here you come to the ungrateful person. So I think we see the connection here, how that there is. is a falling away by not being grateful. And strength for today comes by being grateful and thankful for what you have. Strength for today is found in some advice that Solomon gives us back in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Let's look at that. I think this is a very important point. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. If you want to have strength for today, you want to make it through this day, well, notice what he says. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Now, I know that we all have hobbies and things that we enjoy to do. And what is a shame is this, that sometimes we do not allow ourselves to even enjoy the things we like to do because we're carrying a load of anxiety and frustrations around with us. We're not, content. And we, even in the things that we enjoy, we don't allow ourselves to enjoy them because we're not living life. We're not living life one day at a time. You know, in the type of work that I do, I don't get paid by the hour. I get paid by how much I put on. And by the square foot. And it's so easy in that type of work to sort of settle into just a mundane work a day a week and just get by. You know, just not enough to get by, and that's it. To survive, and that's it. But I've been doing this recently. And that is, whatever I do, do it with your might. And I found out several things. One, I found out that I'm making more money now because I'm getting more done. I also found out that by doing this, doing my work all my life, is that I feel satisfied. There is, I come home feeling good about myself because I've given it my all. And it's really a change there. I feel great. I feel good about myself, about the accomplishment, about getting something done. I want to tell you a secret here. Much of what we struggle with in the area of sin and our temptations, our problems that we have, a lot of what we struggle with, our failure to live the life, to walk the walk, our yielding to playing a better role, come about by lack of vision, lack of mission, more than they do anything else. I sometimes think if we could get there right down to the root of the problem, that much of what we struggle with comes about because we don't have anything that we're doing with all our might. We're just getting by. Barely. So, strength for today is found right here in some advice that Solomon gives us. And that is, whatever you do, do it with your might. You want to have strength for today. Turn back to James 4 and verse 13. James 4 and verse 13. Looking at strength for today, just for today. James 4 and verse 13 through 17. James 4 and beginning at verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. And what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Now, I want to mention something here about goals that we set. Because here, obviously, what's being described is living life one day at a time. It says it's evil. It's arrogant to plan or to say, well, next year we're going to do this, we're going to make money and all that. It's not talking to here. It's talking about not living life one day at a time. But this is what is important. So goals that we set. I don't think there's anything wrong with goals. I think goals are good. But there is a downside to goals. And that is, a lot of times when we plan goals, we look at the enormity of the goal.
get totally frustrated by the enormity of the goal. You know, I'm trying to build a garage inside my house. And all I've got is a few boards laid out for the floor, the concrete floor. I don't have any walls. I don't have no roof system. No gables. No doors. No windows. And I look at it every day and I think, I'm never going to get this thing done. There's nothing there but a few boards laid out. And I look at the enormity as a goal and I get totally frustrated and full of anxiety because I'm not getting anything done. But you know, if I take it one day at a time and I say, well, the next time I get a chance to work on this garage, I'm going to dig some holes for the main posts, support posts. And so I do that the next time I get a chance to work on it. And the next time I get a chance to work on it, I'm going to plant the main support posts, the poor concrete around it. And I do that. You know, if I take it one day at a time, just focus on it one day at a time, you know, it becomes much more easier. And I can accomplish that. But a lot of times we look at the enormity of the goal. You know, we look at seek you first, the kingdom of God, and all its righteousness. We read, be you therefore perfect. You know, and I'm not perfect. And so we look at the enormity of the goal when we become totally frustrated by it. And the thing to realize is that anything short of carrying just the burden of the day is evil. A life of living in the fog, a life where we make our struggles bigger than the day is long, a life where we make our problems bigger than God because we're not willing to take life one day at a time. And you can become so frustrated that you begin to act out verse 17, where it says, therefore, to him who knows to do good, he does it not. To him, it is evil. You know what you should do. You know what is right. But you just don't do it. You just don't do it. So take your problems one step, one day at a time. Now let's turn back to Proverbs 24, verse 10. Back to Proverbs 24, verse 10. Let's look at another scripture here. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now, mind you, we all know that troubles will come our way. Troubles will come your way. Troubles will come my way. How? And it says, if you faint in the day of these troubles, you will lose hope, whatever. Your strength is small. How do you become strong? You become strong by you ever heard the expression little things make a lot? You know, what I have gone through here are little things. Contentment, giving it your all, not being full of anxiety and worries and not letting every day, you know, living like one day at a time. What I'm going through here is very simple. Very little. The little things mean a lot. You become strong by paying attention to the small things. By paying extremely close attention to the small things of life. This day. One day at a time. You pay attention to your prayer life. You pay attention to the anxieties that come about by not living life one day at a time. You pay attention to your contentment. You pay attention to your gratitude and being thankful. You pay attention to your zest for life and doing things with all your might. Little things. You know, Jesus said, he said, when you pray, make the request to lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. You know, together with God, you can accomplish great things one step at a time, one day at a time. There is a simplistic power that you have that a lot of times we overlook. And I think sometimes Satan the devil wants to hide this simplistic power from our eyes more than anything else in the world. But there's a secret, there's something that God knows about you that we sometimes forget. And that is, anyone can carry his burden, however heavy, until nightfall. Anyone can do his work, however hard, for one day. Anyone can live sweetly, patiently, lovingly, purely, to the the sun goes down. And this is all that life really means. This is what it means to please God. To please God. So, as I began, at the beginning of the sermon, quoting a little prayer off the internet with a guy, said, Lord, so far I thank you that I haven't hated, and I haven't lusted, and I haven't thought any evil thoughts, and I haven't said anything wrong, and I haven't treated anyone wrongly. But I'm about to get up out of bed, and from this point forward, I am going to need a lot of help. From that point, the next 15 hours are the hours that you give back to God. The next 15 hours. If we work at being content, if we work at being grateful, if we work at giving it our all and living life to the full and doing things with all our might, if we learn to, not to make our problems bigger than the day is long, if we can live life one day at a time, God will be pleased. And remember, don't forget that anyone can bear his burden, however heavy, until nightfall. Anyone can do his work, however hard, for one day. Anyone can live sweetly, patiently, lovingly, purely, till the sun goes down.